This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Layoffs hit the shuttle industry.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Bill Radke. NASA's top space contractor is slashing its workforce. The agency is shifting away from using shuttles in space travel, and now Houston-based United Space Alliance says it's laying off about 15% of its workers. Our own Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington, D.C. to talk about this. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Nancy, exactly how many people are going to lose their jobs?
Well, the contractor, United Space Alliance, says it's laying off, as you said, about 15% of its space shuttle workforce. And that works out to about 1,000 workers in Florida, 300 to 400 in Texas, and 10 in Alabama.
What type of work did they do?
Well, Stacey, these are obviously not astronauts. The workers got the space shuttles ready for launch. They were also responsible for day-to-day management of the shuttles. In fact, United Space Alliance is the main contractor for the shuttle program.
If the shuttle program is ending, how many space shuttle missions are left?
Well, NASA has two more scheduled, one in November and another in February. There has been talk of adding another flight next summer. NASA wants to fly the shuttle Atlantis on a resupply mission to the International Space Station. But when the program is finally shut down, some reports say 9,000 jobs will be lost. And there's going to be a ripple effect with thousands more people not directly employed through the shuttle program losing their jobs. United Space Alliance says if there is another mission next summer, future job cuts will be delayed, not canceled, just delayed.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington, D.C. Nancy, thank you.
You're welcome.
Investors were on a global spending spree yesterday. This morning, it's more like a selling spree. In China, Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell 1.1%. London's FTSE is off 1.3%. Paris's CAC 40 is down 1.5%. Yesterday was a good day, though, for U.S. markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added nearly 0.6% to close at 9,743. One big winner yesterday was BP. The oil giant's shares jumped more than 8.5%. Meanwhile, the Financial Times reports this morning the U.S. Justice Department wants BP to tell it in advance if it's going to sell off any of its assets, join up with another company, or make any moves to help cover its massive losses from the oil leak. In fact, a top official in Libya said yesterday his country should invest in BP while its share prices are down. Adults aren't the only ones feeling the hardship of the recession. A study out today finds that when a parent loses a job, kids lose their health coverage. April Domboski reports.
For every 1,000 jobs lost, more than 300 privately insured children lose their health coverage. That's according to a new report in this month's issue of Health Affairs. Jerry Fairbrother led the study at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. She said many of these children are eligible for federal health insurance programs like Medicaid. The problem is, parents aren't signing them up.
Possibly the families are less familiar with the public assistance programs and the rules.
Many states have tried to remove disincentives to enrollment, like waiting periods, complicated forms, and burdensome proof of income requirements. But these days, with so many cuts to state budgets, families can be confused about what's available. Jocelyn Geyer directs the Center for Children and Families at Georgetown.
once word gets out on the street that there are cutbacks, it creates enormous upheaval in an outreach effort.
Researchers hope their findings will inspire more aggressive awareness campaigns. I'm April Demboski from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
A study just out from the University of Illinois found kids are exposed to more junk food ads on TV than they were 5 years ago. Obesity, of course, has become a major concern in this country. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus offers up his own modest proposal. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So, David, you had a solution to the obesity epidemic that you proposed in your LA Times column last week. What was that?
It's pretty simple, actually. Let's substitute tobacco for junk food when we think about regulation. And by that, what I mean is we already have very effective measures to address the tobacco problem. And in fact, we've brought the smoking rate down from nearly 50% among adults to 20% because of these steps that we take. All I'm saying is apply the same thinking to junk food, and maybe you can bring the obesity rate down as well.
And what reaction did you get for this proposal?
Well, the phrase food Nazi has resonated a number of times in my email box, and also communist, socialist. People feel very strongly when you tell them what can and can't go into their mouths. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you ban sugary beverages. I'm just saying if you treat it like tobacco, you will disincentivize. Not only will you limit the marketing, limit the sponsorships, and hopefully limit the access that kids will have to a lot of this, because health experts say it's all about the external cues. If you are exposed to external cues to eat this stuff, your body naturally says, ooh, sugar, ooh, fat, salt, I want that. So you cut that down, and then also put taxes in place that would then be applied to wellness programs, just like we do with tobacco.
What has the industry response been to this kind of suggestion?
You know what? They don't like it, it turns out.
Really?
In fact, they are circling their wagons as we speak. Most of the attention so far has been on soda taxes, one of which just got defeated in New York. The industry says, look, we have to fight these things. We've got to do everything we can to work together to oppose them. Well, of course, that's what they say. One recent study at Harvard found that if you increased the price of soda, the consumption would fall off precipitously.
David Lazarus is the consumer columnist for the Los Angeles Times. David, thank you.
Thank you.
Write us and tell us what you think of David's plan. That's at letters@marketplace.org. And finally, you could call it the happiest class on earth. Disney is rolling out language schools in China. The Mouse House has plans to open about 150 English language schools across China within the next 5 years. Disney plans to open its next theme park in Shanghai. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.